The first reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you know, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied, and I was commanded, as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then my people will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm not preaching on the gospel today, but I cannot resist commenting on how it ended. You know, there's just no accounting for some people. After Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, who hasn't eaten, he's been dead for 4 days, wrapped up like a mummy, and he comes out when Jesus calls him out of the grave. And some people, because of raising Lazarus from the dead, we heard, believed in Jesus. And then there's the people that there's just no explanation for. They went to the Pharisees and said, do you know what Jesus did? He raised someone from the dead. Amazing. Amazing. Well, have you ever had a day when you felt barely alive? Now, maybe you had a cold or the flu or a temperature. You functioned, but just barely. Perhaps their theme adequately described how you felt that day. Dead man walking. Today in our world, there are many dead men, dead women walking. And I'm not talking about people with the flu. I want to revisit for just a moment a portion of that first lesson from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. In 1597 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar, ruler and king of Babylon, conquered the Middle East, including Israel. He carried the king of Israel off along with the vast majority of the population of Israel to Babylon. Now, Babylon was in present-day Iraq and about 50 miles south of current-day Baghdad. Ezekiel receives this vision of a valley of dry bones, and as we heard, God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones to come to life. So he does. He hears a noise, the rattling of the bones. They come together, tendons form, flesh, skin wraps up the whole body. Bodies everywhere. But there was no life. Just bodies that looked fine, except there's no life in these bodies. So God tells Ezekiel to prophesy again. When he did, all at once, probably to Ezekiel's amazement, these bodies came to life, they stood up on their feet, and as it says, a vast army. This prophecy has two meanings. It's a double entendre prophecy, if you will. The first meaning, and its earliest application, has to do with the people of Israel. They were in exile in Babylon. They were spent. They were discouraged. They had no hope. They were ripped up out of their land, dragged hundreds of miles to the north, and forced to live there. And so God gives Ezekiel this prophecy to give them hope. For God is promising that He will deliver them and bring them back to their own land, which He did. But it's the second meaning that I want to speak about today. This prophecy has a great deal to do with the work of God in our day. You see, most every day you and I encounter dead men walking. And I'm not talking about people with the cold or the flu. I'm talking about real people with whom you work, play, go to school, shop amongst. They may seem alive as you are, as alive as you are, but are in fact dead men walking. Of whom am I speaking? Any guesses? Deborah? Yes. I'm speaking of those who do not yet have faith in Jesus. Non-Christians. Why are they dead men walking? Because of this timeless truth of God. Without faith in Jesus, one is not truly living. Everyone born into this world is comprised of spirit, soul, and body. But Scripture tells us that we are all born spiritually dead. Now, God desires that we be reborn in spirit so that we can be with Him forever in heaven. One night, as we heard a couple of weeks ago in the gospel lesson, a man by the name of Nicodemus secretly sought Jesus out and he visited with Jesus. And Nicodemus said to Jesus, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, because no one could perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him." And this is how Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now Nicodemus didn't get it, at least not at first. He didn't get it. He thought Jesus was saying that somehow he had to re-enter his mother's womb and be born all over again. And not getting it is what the dead men walking are. Not getting it. They may seem alive. They can even at times carry on some kind of a conversation that is spiritual in nature, but they are not capable of perceiving the things of Jesus because they are spiritually discerned. The teachings of Jesus need to be spiritually discerned. This is what Paul writes. He addresses this specifically. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." This introduces precisely the reason God wants us equipped to share the message of Jesus. Because here's how it works. While people who are not Christian cannot understand the things of the Spirit, still, the Holy Spirit uses our sharings about God's offer of eternal life to plant the seed of faith in their lives, in the lives of people with whom we share. Then, God works to get that seed germinated. And how? He waters that seed. He nurtures that seed through subsequent sharings of the message of God's offer of forgiveness and eternity through the work of Jesus in His death and His resurrection. And when that seed of faith germinates, they will then begin to understand the things of God, the things of Jesus. But until that faith germinates and comes to life, all this stuff about Jesus makes no sense to them. God dearly desires that people be with Him in heaven and not separated from Him in hell. And that's why God wants us to be prepared to do this. It's important to God. It's so important to God that Jesus said this one day. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field." Now, the truth is, most Christians feel ill-equipped to share with others God's offer of forgiveness and life everlasting through faith in Jesus. Yes, you may feel ill-equipped. But the truth is, you already know what to say. You do. You know that sin separates us from God. You already know that there's nothing you can do about that situation of sin separating you from God, because in our sinfulness, it's impossible to please God or make ourselves right with God. You already know that. You already know that Jesus came here to take the punishment for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. You already know that Jesus rose from the dead, conquering sin, death, and the devil. You already know that He shares His victory with you. It's your victory too. You already know that you have a wondrous future in heaven because of this great grace of God. And you already know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you to equip you with all you need to share Jesus with others. Yes! You already know these things. And there are people out there who need to hear what you, by God's great grace, already know. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to those people and give you the words needed to share with those people at that time, in that place, so that they too can know what you know, that Jesus is their Savior too. And then they will no longer be dead men walking. There's one more thing that I want to share with you under this theme of dead man walking. We find this in Romans chapter 8. Actually, these words are right after where the second lesson today ended. Paul's continuing, and in verses 12 through 14, he says this: "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Here's what Paul's getting at. First, the old nature in us, the sinful part of us, the old Adam, sees that we are alive in Christ and wants to change that. He's telling us, Paul is, that even while the old nature is trying to drag us down, the Spirit of God in us wants us to put to death the misdeeds of the body. You see, what he's saying, what he's really telling us is that there's a war going on. A war. We're not dead men walking, but if the old nature got its way, we would be. God calls us to a wonderful life, a wonderful future, especially, but we need to make it there. He'll help us, God will, but there is danger in our path. Forces that want to trick us or deceive us into giving our faith away. Friends, call out to God regularly, daily. His Spirit will bring you what you need in the midst of that battle with your old nature and the forces of the world and the devil as well. He will give you what you need. And hold on to this. Paul knows so well, so magnificently, the value of the new life that he had been given in Christ. He wrote these words: "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." because of the love of God revealed in all Jesus has done for us, we have a present and especially a future of wonder beyond what words can express. Such is the grace of God showered on us. How magnificent is that? Dead men walking, not us, not us. By the grace of God, we are alive with the Spirit of our God living within. What a treasure. Amen.